I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about despairing. We're going to be taking a look at this passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul says he was under such great pressure that he was despairing even of life itself. He was under such great pressure that he was despairing. What does it mean to despair? Despair means you get to this place where you have no hope. It means look like you have no out. There's no way out of it. There's no hope. But he said, this happens that we might learn to rely and put our trust in God, who raises the dead back to life. He said, this might happen so that we would learn to focus on God and to trust in him. Lately, we've been talking about God has this abundant supply for our lives. The tables have been turned in the new covenant, and he has sufficient supply for all the demands that are coming at us in life today. He's got supply for whatever's coming at us today, this day in life. And I believe he keeps that supply stored up in heaven. It's stored up in heaven, waiting to be released at the perfect time. He stores it in heaven. Why? So that it won't get wasted. It won't go bad. It never expires. Thieves can't break in and steal. He keeps it in a safe place. And he's got it waiting, ready to be revealed, ready to be released at the right time. But sometimes we go through these times of great pressure in our lives. The Apostle Paul says, we were in such great pressure, it was way beyond our ability to endure. Sometimes we get into these times of great pressure. And what are these times of great pressure meant to teach us? They're meant to teach us to look to God, to rely on him and that abundant, sufficient supply that he has, to look to him and to rely on him rather than ourselves. And that's these times. It's this interesting phrase. The Apostle Paul says, I was despairing even of life itself. No hope for just life itself. He's just saying, you know, you see him in other parts of scripture saying, you know, I don't know whether it's better for me to stay here or to depart and go be with the Lord, but it's more fruitful that he would stay for the people. He was despairing of life. He had this time, but it taught him how to rely and trust on God. So if you're in a time right now where you have a time of despair, it looks like you got no hope for your situation, that's the time meant to teach us to roll that pressure over onto God and to look to him. So we're going to be taking communion over this today, just asking for God's help. If you're facing that at all, asking for his help to roll our focus and attention over onto him. Because he's got a way out. He's got a way out through whatever it is that we're going through. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God. Wasn't really seeking after God in any way, shape, or form. But my life really wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. I was stressed out all the time. I was running my personal training gym business. And the business was just putting a lot of stress on me, feeling all the weight and pressure of it. Had some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. And I remember just going for a walk with my wife one evening around the neighborhood. And I just remember telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And then shortly after that, I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. It said, if you read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, it will change your life. And so what you do is on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. It's got 31 chapters. So at the end of the month, you start back over and you repeat that again. And so I started doing this. I started reading these Proverbs regularly, and I quickly began to see that my way of thinking and God's way of thinking were much different. And he began to renew my mind about some things. And then one day I came across this verse, Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? And after some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals. I'm going to create systems and teaching and training for all the different areas of life that I can pass on to hopefully my children, children's children one day. And I'm going to have teaching and training for areas like purpose and health and family and finances, order, time, community. You see them all here on the page. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. And so I began to seek God for him to supply this, for him to teach me, for him to train me. What am I going to teach? What's the system? What's the plan here? And from that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially as I began to really just seek into him and press after him. And over the course of about 10 years, he began to teach me and train me, and it turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important lesson to pass on is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to change the trajectory of our lives, to turn the tables, to turn things around and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Think about this. You're in this time of despair. Communion, this communion today has the ability to turn things around, to get us focused back on God, and to remember he's with us. We've got hope in any and every situation. To despair means there's no hope. But if we've got God with us, we've always got hope, and helps us to remember that. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Over and over in the Old Testament, God tells the people, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget your covenant with him. Communion helps us to abide in Christ so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all the benefits that are found in the new covenant. And I found personally, it can be this time where we take these promises that God has made and we activate them. It serves as a marker in time to say, you know what, that moment I took communion over that, I believed I received God's help with that promise. And I believe he's helping me walk in that promise. From this point on, it's just going to change the trajectory of our lives going forward. And there's something very powerful about communion, that we're taking these spiritual principles, we're pulling them into our soul, into our mind and remembrance, and then we combine it with something practical and physical that we do that helps us to remember. You've probably got certain triggers around your house, certain physical things. Maybe it's a picture, maybe it's something that you touch or hold or a smell or even that helps to trigger certain memories, certain memories come to mind. But communion can be that powerful thing, that trigger that gets us to remember, wait a minute, I've got God with me. I've got hope in any and every situation because I've got God with me. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, we take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and honor and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, doing life without him, eternally separated from him. But he chose the way of love. He chose to send his one and only son. Jesus was willing to humble himself, to be obedient even unto death on the cross. He's rejected by his own people, betrayed by his own disciple. He's got all the pressure on him in the garden. He's sweating drops of blood. He had that despair probably that we're talking about today. But he still had hope because God raised him back to life. He spit and hit and whipped, nailed to the cross. Worst of all, I think he's separated from God. He felt the cup of God's wrath being poured against him. He felt like what it was like to have God against him in his life. His body was destroyed. But then on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight through his one sacrifice. We can have this personal relationship with God connected back to him. Makes us his children. I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life if we take it the right way. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith. to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hands on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to make today a masterpiece? We're going to get connected to the Master. Because our relationship with God, it's got to be brought down into today. We have to have this eternal relationship with him. But it's got to be brought down into today to impact the things that we do, the things that we think about, the decisions that we make, the things that we're speaking. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals. Because masters of anything are truly just masters of the fundamentals. And executing these fundamentals with some presence and some energy and some joy and some fun today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And we're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple, childlike, humble faith that simply just believes and trusts in God. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We often forget to forgive ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering because love never fails. We're going to delight in the truth today. And we're going to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. It's one of the greatest expressions of faith. And gratitude and praise is one of the easiest ways to just maintain our positioning all day long. And getting into position is a big deal. Because when we're in position, it helps us to be able to receive all that God has for us. And what does he have for us? He's got this amazing, abundant supply, this inexhaustible, unlimited supply of everything we need in Christ. When we take our position in Christ, we're stepping into Christ. And we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. So this day today, we have access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time and finances, his kingdom and purpose. It's all available today to be received. But then we have to learn how to get it flowing through us, where we see the fruit of it, the result of it in our lives. That's where we talk about our second fundamental, which is to magnify the light. To magnify the light is to make bigger or greater. So first we're going to turn the lights on. Then this is like the dimmer switch. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to give us hearts that understand God's grace, to make us more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. When we've got these pressures of life that are greater than sometimes we can endure. Sometimes we'll get into these situations. We can still magnify that light that we've got God with us. And to magnify, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. I think of constant repetition. And you've probably had this example. We had some issue or problem, and the more you magnified that problem, the more you thought about it, the more you talked about it, the more you rolled that problem over in your mind trying to figure it out. It seemed like the problem just grew bigger. You got more and more confused. And that same principle, when you magnify those problems, they grow bigger, works in the other direction as well. When we begin to magnify God, he begins to grow bigger on the inside of us. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love and his faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well, looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them. So rather than rolling those problems over and over in our mind, toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out, we're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those issues and problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay out of position, stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way. Bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, venting, complaining, pouting, stressing and worrying, toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out. Meditating on the ways people have wronged us. All this rather than resting and trusting in God and relying on him. That's where we're going to recognize the symptoms. When we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people. We might snap at people. Might feel all that heaviness and weight and stress and pressure on you. You might withhold good things that you know to do because someone did something you didn't like. You might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And again, you have all that heaviness and weight and pressure sitting on you. You might have feelings of, we talk about it in different words, usually hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck. And that's just another other words to describe the word despair. Like you got no hope, like there's no way out. And sometimes we might get in situations that look that way. And those situations are meant to teach us to rely on God, to look to him. Because when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing. We've got his peace and his joy and his love and his mind and wisdom. It all just begins to flow. And now the big one. We've got hope in any and every situation. Because he loves us and nothing's impossible for him. We can have those feelings of despair. We look around, we see what's going on. Looks like there's no hope for our situation. But we can still have hope because we're putting our hope and our trust in him. We can put our hope and our trust in him, even when things look hopeless. Now, if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it back around again. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get off track. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly and to turn it back around. How do we do it? We change our focus. Number one, we get focused back on God. We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I'm off track right now. Forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from Him. We forgive ourselves and stop beating ourselves up over it. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking God for His grace and His goodness and His love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You go through that simple process, you'll feel that weight lift off you on the inside. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to wash over you. The tables can turn very quickly. And then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us throughout the day. But we got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just a sentence or a short phrase that we keep rewriting every night before bed as a reminder of a commitment to walking out God's standards in our life, to walking in a new way of doing things. And God's ways of doing things. So as an example of a filter, you might write something that goes like the following. God is working continually for my good. And I'm going to do continually good for others. Then when something comes your way throughout the day and you're tempted to worry or stress or get upset about it, whatever it may be, you got this reminder. Wait a minute. God's working for my good. I might not be able to see Him doing it, but He's working for my good. When someone pushes your buttons or gets under your skin or wrongs you in some way, you're tempted to retaliate or snap at them or give them the silent treatment or whatever it may be. You got this reminder, wait a minute, God doesn't do that to me. I'm going to give this person the same grace God has given me. I'm going to do continually good for them. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then I like to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen, reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we're going to stay tuned in throughout the day. He's trying to navigate us throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection to Him, just take 1 to 2 minutes and slow down. Take a couple deep breaths, get aware of His presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. We're going to get charged up or powered up in Him. And then the final thing I've learned to do every night is to plan the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule, taking action on things that I really don't quite know what to do yet. And I'm getting out ahead of Him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And these things are building up. They're piling up on the inside. I got things in my conscience that I know to do, things that I know to correct. And I'm not taking action on them. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for today. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. As I began to learn this, I began to seek God and say, what's the best thing for us to say? And I felt like He was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And like He was saying, what's the very first thing you see me speak in the Bible? Which is, let there be light. And so I started doing this every morning, first thing, right when I wake up, the first thing out of my mouth, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And it's amazing how just that simple little thing just sets the tone for the whole day. You feel this just different energy come into your body. Then we get connected to God. We start praising and thanking Him, start magnifying Him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together with Him today with a willing heart and a good attitude, full confidence in Him. Just that simple childlike faith with all that doubt and unbelief is all removed out of the way. Just confident faith that God's with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, His grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. He's got some solutions to the problems that we face. I believe He's got them stored up in heaven, waiting for the perfect time for them to be revealed in our life. And these beautiful solutions, I like to say, they're the perfect solution at the perfect time, and they create ripple effects across the other areas of our life, setting us free in so many ways. Often the solutions that we come up with in our own minds just create more side effects and more problems. But these beautiful solutions work to set us free in so many ways. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything that God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at the scripture today. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, going through verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." This would be good, some good verses for us to meditate on right there. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Now, some people will say, "Oh, we've got God with us. This Christian life, I'm not going to have any more problems." Well, you know what? You're still going to have problems. Jesus says you're still going to have trouble in this world, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So we face these issues and problems, and God gives us this comfort. He brings these beautiful solutions into our life. And then we can go and encourage other people. We can give them that same comfort that God has given us. So it's not meant just for us. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. So Paul's saying, if I'm going through something right now, it's actually for you. It's for your comfort and salvation if we are comforted. It is for your comfort which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Think about that. We had so much pressure. We had no hope just for life itself. So much pressure beyond our ability to endure that we had no hope. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us. So he was in this position, pressure beyond what he could bear, despairing of life. It seemed like there was no hope for the situation, but God delivered us from such a deadly peril. And he will deliver us again. On him, we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayer. Now notice, the other people's prayers played a part in this. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you are the God of compassion and the God of all comfort. That you comfort us in our troubles. And we're asking for your help today, that when we're in these times of pressure, it seems like there's no way out. It seems like we got great pressure on us beyond our ability to handle it sometimes. That you would help us to stay focused on you, to rely on you and to trust in and to lean on you during those times, because you're going to deliver us and you're going to do it again and again. And we're asking for your help, Lord, to help us to pray for others the way you would like us to help them with the comfort and the deliverance that they need in these situations as well. We think of that the night Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. God sent his one and only Son for us. He didn't have to. He chose to. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He chose to humble himself, to follow God's plan for his life. Became obedient even unto death. He went through this great pressure in the garden as he's preparing to go to the cross. He's rejected and betrayed. All that he went through on that cross, separated from God, the cup of God's wrath poured onto his body. But God raised him from the dead. He's the one that raises the dead. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. So Father, we just thank you that you're also the God of all hope. And we can put our hope in you. We just thank you for that. We thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with God, this new covenant with him. And I believe as we experience this, we get into these situations where there's great pressure, seems like there's no way out. He begins to just deliver us again and again out of these situations. Gives us comfort in our times of trouble. Just helps us to know him more and more. To know his goodness and his grace and his love for us that much more. So Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, let's talk about some workout stuff. So something I've been thinking about lately, I feel like God's been teaching me a little bit, is that as we talk about strengthening our bodies, one of the things that happen, we often think of strengthening our muscles. But one of the things that has to happen, this is very important for our joint health as well, that as our muscles get stronger, we also have to build the structural systems of the body. We got to strengthen the joints and the tendons and the ligaments. So that those areas of the body, the structure of the body, that's what's holding the body together. That the structure of the body would also get strengthened. And that takes a little time. It takes a little longer to strengthen the joints and the tendons and the ligaments than I believe it takes to strengthen the muscles. And so it takes a little time. So in your workouts, as you're growing stronger over time, we talk about taking your time, starting small, building it over time. One of the things that's happening is you're building those joints and connective tissues so that the structure is there to be able to handle more and more as the muscles begin to do more work. And that's an important step in the process. So a lot of that's happening under the surface. You're going to be getting stronger in those joints and tendons, but you can't see the physical result of it out in the weights that you lift or in the muscles of the body just yet. But once you get those joints and tendons, you got that structure in place. It's not going to be long before those muscles start to really grow as well. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.